I'm with Yulia Graves. I'm going to be talking to Yulia, who's a herbalist from France, about how we can look after ourselves during autumn and winter.
Yeah, thank you for having me here in very cold London. So it's the inspiring seasonal setup here for what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, it's really gone cold in the last few days, hasn't it?
Yes, and everybody is chilled.
But you know, we always kind of change our wardrobe when the seasons change. We exactly know what to wear and how to keep ourselves protected from the change in weather. But a lot of the times our lifestyle, our diet doesn't seem to change naturally. Would you say, Yulia, that actually we must pay attention to our nutrition and our lifestyle with change of seasons?
Absolutely. Our lifestyle and diet and our habits have to change with the seasons. And I actually don't agree that everybody knows how to change to dress. Just yesterday, I saw a young woman barefoot in sandals on the tube here. So that's a recipe for catching cold. So we're going to be talking about how not to do that. And yes, of course, logically and traditionally, the first thing is to bundle up, to dress warm. Now it's blustery outside, to put on warm hats. But then also not to put cold things into our body.
What's the importance of that? Because, you know, years ago, there was this whole notion that actually cold has nothing to do with your reduced immunity or catching cold or flu. It's all about the virus. So it's not the temperature. So you don't need to really keep yourself warm or anything. This was the notion years ago. But I know personally, traditionally, from an Ayurvedic perspective, herbally, that actually keeping yourself warm is more than just feeling comfortable with the temperature. It's to do with your immunity.
Yes, of course, because it's not that we are always the same and the bugs come from the outside and invade us. It's not like that. It's actually about how strong, vital, and if you wish, coherent our tissues are when they come. So if our mucosa and our vital state is in a good state, then although the virus comes, we don't get sick in the first place. And one way in which we can weaken our system is to allow it to cool off too much. We are warm-blooded creatures. We're supposed to stay warm.
So what are the key things that we should really be doing during these cold seasons?
So it starts with, as I said, dress warm, and then also for instance, modern day commuters, don't sit on cold surfaces outside. So while you're waiting for the bus or for the tube, don't sit on a cold stone bench. This is especially important for women, so that the cold doesn't start to invade your body from below. That's a recipe for leucorrhea, for instance. And then
the leucorrhea, for those listeners who may not know this term, is a type of white discharge which is seen in women.
And vaginal discharge, yes.
Yes, yeah.
And it's very common and very easy to avoid by wearing warm socks, dressing warm enough from the waist down and not sitting on cold surfaces. And then the next thing to avoid is having ice drinks, so ice cubes in your drink, and not to have ice cream. Those are, if you wish, health food for a really hot summer to cool us down when we're overheated.
Yes.
So they're seasonally and logically wrong.
But you know, like I have seen in New Zealand particularly, is that during the coldest months is when the ice cream parlors would be very busy because people think, oh, wow, it's something very challenging now, or something very enjoyable to go to an ice cream parlor and have ice cream during the coldest of winters.
This way may well be. I mean, also in the United States, you can't be served a drink at a restaurant or on an airplane without there being more ice cubes than drink in the glass. However, it chills us from the inside and it gives you a weak stomach because the stomach has to fight to stay warm. We're supposed to be about 36 degrees Celsius as our body temperature. And so if we do that, we make our body more easily invadable by the kind of viruses that cause a cold. It was traditionally called a cold because people observe that you catch it when you become too cold. That's why we say, I catch cold.
Yes, yeah. I think, Yulia, it's also important at this stage for our listeners to think, because I'm an Ayurvedic doctor, you're a herbalist, that we both are talking something so nonsensical that we're talking about cold as being one of the important factors for our immunity. But, you know, we must mention that there's been quite a substantial research in the recent years which actually shows that your lifestyle, the environmental factors, the way you eat, the way you live during different seasons has a specific effect on your immune system. Because we know that not everybody catches cold, not everybody actually suffers from various seasonal allergies or seasonal disease conditions. That's because our individual immunity is different.
Right.
And that differences in our individual immunity is not just because, you know, you are having a very strong genetic immunity towards certain viruses, but it's also dependent on your own lifestyle.
Right, exactly. And traditions have always had very strong knowledge about that because people were so much more exposed to the elements. They couldn't ride to work on the tube. They had to go outside in the fields and deal with the cattle. So they knew how to stay well in the blustery cold. Or, you know, I'm German in the High Alps, so how do you spend winter in the High Alps without catching cold? Yeah. They did not think it was normal, by the way.
You know, one of the things in Ayurveda is really to understand how our metabolism changes with change in seasons.
Right.
For instance, during cold months is when your digestive fire, which is not literally the fire, but, you know, if you're thinking about our ability to actually eat and absorb, digest and handle the food. In fact, cold months is when actually we can eat more and that we can also actually absorb food better during cold months, especially if it is the right kind of food, if it is warm. So it's almost like, you know, in winter, we all feel like, actually, I want to have a nice warm food and to feel comfortable. So
right.
This is also observed amongst animals that actually during cold months, you know, different life forms, particularly animals,
right,
they store nutrients and then you know, they hibernate and actually they gain more fat.
Right. And it's the same for us. I mean, we are right now, for the first time in our human history of 100,000 years, actually removed from that.
Yeah.
We used to also strive to put on fat in autumn to make it through winter. However, to come back to this idea of strengthening the inner fire, our inner warmth to brave the cold outside, to balance it out. So traditionally what was done in many, many cultures, for instance here in Europe, in China, is to have a lot of hot soups, you know.
Yeah.
There's still this notion that it's good to have a hot soup in the winter to the point where your nose starts to run, because that means that it warmed up your inside to the point where it strengthens you against the cold.
Yeah, and also to use spices.
Right, exactly.
That have this heating property so that the body actually produces that internal, generates that internal heat.
And if you look, a lot of the spices that we could add to our soup, they're actually helping the body have really strong immunity, so not to get a stomach flu, and they strengthen the immunity also against respiratory infections.
Can we talk about a few of the spices?
Yes. So I was about to mention, for instance, we can add ginger, we can add garlic and onions. It's very traditional to chop onions into the soup when you start sneezing. It's a very, very traditional remedy for the onset of cold in the moment when you start sneezing for the first time. There's mustard that has been traditionally used, but then also more exotic spices such as, for instance, cayenne and cinnamon you could add to your soup.
Yes, yeah.
Or to your porridge.
To the porridge?
The cinnamon.
Cinnamon. Okay, I was thinking of how...
Mustard porridge,
how
yes.
How about making a nice savory mustard, cinnamon, cayenne, ginger, garlic
yes.
porridge.
And that's the traditional wisdom, you know, when Europeans had the first spice trade with India via the spice route, they value these warming spices higher than gold because they had to brave the winter here. And, you know, we didn't have central heat in those days. And then we would have these warming spices in our Christmas cookies and cakes to warm us up when it was coldest outside.
So yeah.
That was the very good traditional logic, actually.
You know, if you think about the evolution of human species, not too long ago in history, several thousand years ago, of course, black pepper at one stage was the currency.
Right. That was good times, I would say.
Because, you know, black pepper was considered not just, you know, to flavor, but it is something that's traditionally known to really have that protective property.
Exactly.
To stay strong, to be, particularly in our digestive system. Everything starts with our digestive system.
Right.
And let's face it, you know, until our digestive system is set right, there is no way how we can actually deal with our overall health.
Right. And, you know, that makes so much sense also because that was little known, one of the traditional ingredients in Christmas cookies too, black pepper.
Yes, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And so many other warming spices like ginger, anise, all of these have this...
Cinnamon, cardamom, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all very, very antimicrobial. But let me talk about something that's really traditional to this part of the world, which was elderberries. So elderberries are really fantastic, and then I'll even share with you my grandmother's winter elderberry soup recipe.
Okay, so tell me the recipe first.
Oh, okay. So you would take the berries and make them into juice, or if you're in modern times, you might want to just simply buy the juice.
Is it really good to just go and buy the juice, because sometimes they might be added with sugars?
You know what? I've never seen that because it's such a traditional item.
Okay.
I have seen elderflower syrup, but I haven't seen sweetened elderberry juice.
Okay, maybe after this interview, some of the companies who really want to commercialize might start adding sugars to elderberry and sell it as, okay, here is your...
Right, but it was traditionally really sweetened with honey, which honey is, also, of course, also really good for... treating your throat so you don't catch cold in the first place.
And
so,
can I mention here, Yulia, that actually when it comes to honey, it's not just a honey from any part of the world, but if you can actually get honey from your local area, of course, you know, the closest area where you are living, actually you're more likely to have the benefits of fighting those microbes, or, you know, where you can develop your immunity for that local condition.
Right, because they're in part contained in the honey, so it's like a natural way of familiarizing yourself with what's around you and to be having strong immunity against it. Yes, so you should be paying attention to the fact that it's local, non-heated, or also called raw honey from a beekeeper.
Yeah.
So if it's
what is your comment about honey that's being creamed and that's being processed?
It really loses its medicinal value once it's heated. So
it just
the telltale
becomes a
sign. Yes, the telltale sign that honey has been heated is that it doesn't naturally crystallize after some time.
Yes.
So some people think it's somehow a bad sign that honey crystallizes out. It's actually a sign of high quality.
That's an amazing point, Yulia, because I know as a child, when we used to get these bottles of honey,
right,
and half of it would crystallize, and we would be so frustrated trying to get the, honey out of it. But actually, that's a good sign that it is.
Right, that's the sign that it's highest quality.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
No, it hasn't been heated, neither while being extracted nor afterwards, to stay more smearable or drippable.
You think in winter, if you're not that too very conscious about putting natural sugars into your body, that actually getting up in the morning, making a warm drink with warm water, a little bit of fresh ginger and honey, and sipping it might be a good idea.
Yeah, hot lemon ginger honey is a wonderful thing. And of course, if you put half a glass of honey in there, then it becomes imbalanced. However, to sweeten it just ever so slightly with good local honey is a really good idea.
Half a glass of honey.
Oh yeah, I have seen people add like 50% sugar or sweetener to the water they're drinking. So
this is sometimes the problem, like in today we talk about the dangers of sugar, and then someone like you or me who go and say, actually, you know what, honey once in a while is okay. It's a natural sweetener, more than the sweetener. It's all the amazing enzymes that it can actually be beneficial for, because of the hard work that bees have done to collect the essence of all the flowers in the region to give you that immunity. I've seen some people think, oh yeah, Dr. Vijay Murthy has told honey is really good, so they kind of scoop tablespoons of it and add it to the porridge.
It's this very, very materialistic approach to life of more is better. So balanced is better, not more is better.
Yeah.
Right. So, but coming back to elderberries, so elderberries are really, really amazing in that they are highly antiviral, and that's how we catch cold. It's a virus that we encounter, and then if we are weak because we haven't rested, we've gotten too cold, we're too stressed, that starts to invade our system. And because we're weak, it can multiply, not because it is vicious, it can multiply, but because we're weak. So having antiviral elderberry juice is really fantastic. So the soup is warmed elderberry juice. So any liquid that's warmed will help us push cold that's starting to invade our body as we're walking in the cold.
So is it okay to actually heat the berries because they are fruits?
Yes. They have always traditionally been heated because otherwise it's also hard to get the juice out. And they're high in vitamin C, so it's a form of vitamin C that can survive some heating. I mean, you're not boiling. Mm-hmm. You're just heating it to the point where it is warm. And then depending on how the season was, they will be more or less sweet. So you can sweeten up again with a little bit of raw local honey. And then what my grandmother did, so she had that in a soup dish with very stiff porridge, which you could sweeten again a little bit and add other really beneficial things for colds and coughs and colds, such as unsprayed lemon peel and cardamom. That makes it very, very yummy. And you scoop them out, this very stiff porridge, to make balls that float in that juice, and you eat it like that. If you eat it warm, this will make you break out in a sweat. And you know, this was very traditional wisdom, that if the cold invades us, if we're exposed to cold wind that faucets its way into our system, you have something hot that opens your pores, you break out in a sweat, and in that moment, the cold that invaded you can actually leave the body again. It escapes.
So these are what we traditionally call the diaphoretic herbs.
Yes, diaphoretic, the ones that open the pores. You can also use that once you caught the cold and you're coming down with the flu. It will bring down the fever and it will help your body fight the virus and overcome the cold much faster. It reduces the symptoms. It's also decongesting the elderberry juice. So you'll be less stuffed up in your nose. And also it is extremely rich in powerful, you know, much praised at the moment, antioxidants that help you fight the cold on many levels. And it's also detoxifying. So it helps you eliminate wastes through the guts. And that's one of your most favorite topics.
Yes, and you know, often it is important during autumn, winter, actually throughout the year, to watch how your bowel movements are. I know it's not the sexiest topic to talk about, but actually it's the most important function of the body, because if there is constipation, if the stools are not well formed, or if there is loose stools, that's the body really telling you actually there's something wrong with your gut.
Well, it's also our garbage removal system. And if we don't go to the toilet regularly and well, then garbage backs up. And you know how unpleasant that is in a city if the garbage trucks haven't come for a week.
Yes, exactly. So it's very important to have fiber-rich, nutrient-rich, dense, nutrient-dense foods during winter. Because sometimes what we think is, you know, okay, oh yeah, during winter it's quite natural for humans and other animals to eat a lot. So if we actually stuff our body with caloric-rich, sugar-rich food, then actually our immunity becomes reduced. So it is important to have whole foods, natural foods. You can eat a lot during winter as long as it is whole foods and natural foods.
Right, and let's look a little bit at vitamin C. You know, that was one of the first vitamins to be isolated, and already then it was really well known that it really helps us fight off coughs, colds, and viral infections. So, and I have heard so many of my clients say, if I take a teaspoonful of vitamin C, you know, which is ascorbic acid, every day during the winter, I just don't get a cold. So we have the synthetic version, you know, it's a white powder that looks like sugar, that just tastes sour. We have natural forms, for instance, from sour cherries like acerola. But then there's also natural vitamin C, which has traditionally been used. The reason why I favor that is because...
What's natural vitamin C?
Well, it's the one that occurs in fruits and vegetables. So natural means it's still in the original plant because nature doesn't have chemical factories where things come out looking like a white crystalline powder. So that's what I mean by natural. And what's beautiful about it is that in fruits, vitamin C is surrounded by similar antioxidants, and many of them are actually much more, up to 200 times more powerful than the vitamin C itself.
Yeah.
And we now know that it's actually important to get as broad a variety of different, chemically different antioxidants as possible to catch and neutralize toxins in the body. So toxins includes the kind of toxins that are produced by the body as it fights off viruses. So what we have traditionally...
Which ones do you say are the traditional, natural, vitamin C-rich sources?
So the kind of fruits that were around at the... So nature provides us with it. So at the end of autumn, it gives us these fruits. For instance, rose hips. That was number one, traditionally. Yeah. And when I was a child, my mother was a herbalist. She still taught us to eat the fruit flesh off of the rose hips as children. That was one of the things we did when we were playing outside in autumn. Very, very rich in vitamin C. Traditionally used rosehip tea in the season to prevent and help overcome respiratory infections. And then... For this region also, northwestern Europe, along the seacoast, we have sea buckthorn, which is now, you know how there are these fads, that when the market gets bored with something such as goji berry, they move on to the next superfood.
Yeah.
So I guess sea buckthorn will soon see its... You know, itself center stage there. It's extremely...
It's like coconut is the superstar today. Coconut was there for hundreds of years, and all of a sudden, everybody is coconut.
Right.
And which is good.
But already when I was a child, it was well known that sea buckthorn is extremely high in vitamin C and other antioxidants, and it was used... particularly because it's expensive, and if you don't live right on the beach where the dunes are, you can't make it yourself. So it was precious, it was expensive, but it was given to people when they had had really bad flu, so when that same virus had really made them
bedridden. How do you use it?
It comes as a juice, unsweetened or more sweetened, because it's very sour, because it's so incredibly rich in vitamin C. And when I was a child, for instance, we were given it with yogurt. So as a topping, and you had it with your yogurt to restore your health.
Yeah.
And but you could also have it, say, as, you know, much like noni juice. Again, was the fad 20 years ago. You just take it by the spoonful.
Yes.
And it was given to people to really recover and restore their health after severe viral infections. However, you can also take it at the onset to not get so sick in the first place.
So sea buckthorn, where can you find it?
So it's very easily available in health food stores, and there's this renowned traditional German company globally available called Velida that makes a whole range of unsweetened and sweetened, naturally sweetened sea buckthorn juices.
So you just need a teaspoon of it?
Yes, you would look on the label.
Yeah.
So traditionally along the coastlines where it grows, you'll also find the preserves such as sea buckthorn jam, which if you ever get a chance, try it. It's delicious.
But you know, it's interesting you mentioned jams, because in the Ayurvedic tradition to support your immunity you actually prepare herbal jams.
Right.
And one of the very famous Ayurvedic herbal jams, there are actually hundreds, but one which is really, you know, yes. like all fats.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not a fad, but it's a very good traditional jam. It's called Chyawanprash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to spell it for our listeners. It's Chyawanprash. Chyawanprash.
So where would you find that?
Chyawanprash, you would have to go and source a listed... organic supplier of Ayurvedic remedies. I'm not saying mm-hmm. that Chyawanprash, all the ingredients in Chyawanprash are organic. That's not possible because it's got so many ingredients. But the most important is this Indian gooseberry, which is in Indian Hindi language called Amla, which has very high content of vitamin C.
Right, it's the highest amount of vitamin C in any fruit found in the planet, and it's an incredibly stable form.
Yeah, but you know, like when I was studying naturopathy,
mm-hmm.
My classmates would say, you know, like, yeah, vitamin C, it gets destroyed when heated, which is of course
right.
correct.
Right.
And then this Chyawanprash is a herbal jam, so you really make a decoction of it with the pulp of amla, and how is it going to actually have any vitamin C? It's not going to have any vitamin C. It's not going to work, blah, 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 blah,
mm-hmm.
blah. And I had to actually tell them, look, you know, traditional recipes were not developed in labs.
Mm.
They were developed within traditions, and people observed the effect of it.
Right.
And with Chyawanprash, when you actually studied how it works,
exactly.
Yes, the vitamin C content got destroyed when it is heated, but then it has those phytoconstituents which are even more powerful vitamin C than vitamin C, and which produce the same immune response because of the other phytoconstituents. So we must also think that plants are not just, don't start looking at plants as vitamin C and some minerals. It's how they function in an intelligent way.
Right. However, also, amla has been shown to be a form of vitamin C in that fruit that can actually withstand heat. That's what
yes.
makes it so unique.
Yeah.
So yeah, we also had rose hip jam. That's also traditional. So absolutely, we did have these preserves of these fruits for winter. So either dried as berries for a fruit tea,
mm-hmm.
the kind of red tea you were given to recover from coughs and colds, are preserved as it was called preserves in the old days, not jams and jellies.
Yes, yeah.
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 But let's look a little bit at the simple thing that traditionally people had this powerful remedy called bed rest.
What?
Yes. It means you start to feel like you're catching
bed
a
rest.
Cold.
Okay.
Yes. You start to feel like you're coming down with a cold. You're starting to sneeze. You feel a little bit flushed, feverish maybe. Or you start to shake because you're chilled. And then the best way of boosting your immunity, completely natural and organic, is to stay in bed. It's warm in bed, so it helps your body recover its normal temperature. Mm. And because you're also stepping out of the stress of everyday life, that helps your body restore really good immune function.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, we cannot overstress the importance of rest.
Right.
And immunity.
Right, and that is actually cutting edge modern science now, you know, where scientists show that changes the whole genetic expression and how the entire biochemistry of your body functions. And that's what's beautiful. If you look at where modern science, avant-garde science, is pushing now, is all actually reconfirming the traditional wisdom we are talking about.
Yes, yeah, that's right. So it's important actually to have good amount of rest during vulnerable seasons like autumn and winter. Right. It's also, you know, because when suddenly it becomes cold, especially with climatic change now, the temperature changes are sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much variation. Actually, body goes through this shock, having to adjust with these extreme changes. And that's when rest is extremely important.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer, life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And then, of course, we have, you know, this superfood, super drug, this herb that was traditionally considered the plant of immortality, garlic.
Yes.
So, garlic. Just, you know, because there's such an obsession in our culture about antibiotics rather than strengthening your immunity naturally. So I just want to point out that garlic is actually naturally a very powerful antibiotic. So for anybody who is worried about that, you want a natural antibiotic, here you go. Have some raw garlic. You can also take garlic pills from the health food store, deodorized. So the kind of preparation where they've taken the garlic smell out of it. However, what is wonderful about garlic, again, is that it boosts your immunity.
And then you don't need to socialize, so you don't get any
right.
viral infection because nobody comes close to you.
Yes, you can curl up in bed and keep everybody infectious away from you with your fire breath.
No, but, you know, I mean, you know, besides the antisocial effects of garlic, actually, garlic is one of the most amazing you know, plants or plant material that we can think of when it comes to microbes, because you know, in some parts of South Asia, actually there is this whole culture of smashing garlic and then mixing that with buttermilk. Buttermilk is really not the one that you get in supermarkets, but you know, you have this yogurt and then you add about 4 parts of water to it and then you blend it. And then what happens is all the fat, it starts to float, and then you scoop off the fat.
Right.
And then you just have this whey, which is really the protein part. And then to that, if you add garlic, and then you mix it, and then you had, you know, tiny bits of that after meals.
Right.
What it really does is, for one, the garlic is an antimicrobial and the buttermilk acts as a probiotic. So can you imagine how you can actually regrow good bacterial flora in the gut, which then becomes a strong foundation for immunity?
Right, a very strong foundation. Maybe I can throw in here that I've again observed in my clients that those who take a course of probiotics, that means friendly bacteria, that the guts need to stay healthy now at the onset of flu and cold season, they don't get stomach flus, and they also get respiratory infections less often because it strengthens their entire system and immunity. Garlic is fantastic also because as we eat it, the sulfur-free garlic essential oils go into the bloodstream and they get breathed out via the lungs. So it is an antibiotic, and so to speak, it disinfects your lungs from the inside out. It helps any kind of stuck mucus and pus from bronchitis being coughed up. And it is very, very helpful in that way. Readily available, and funnily enough, yes, we always say don't have it on an empty stomach, because especially if your stomach is sensitive, it might hurt the stomach. So have it on a slice of bread with butter. So here we go again.
After food, yeah.
Or with food, the combination of the butter and the garlic, because it emulsifies the garlic in the stomach and makes it less aggressive.
Yes, yeah, because it can be an irritant. It's so pungent.
Yes. But I really want to point out my two favorite herbs for strengthening immunity. So echinacea was the fad herb about 20 years ago. And while it was maybe blown out of proportion, then it is true that it is one of our most fantastic,
yes,
and readily available herbs to strengthen immunity. It literally really, really quickly increases the count of your white blood cells, and the white blood cells are the ones that fight infections.
Mm. Would you suggest taking echinacea as a tincture with a little bit of water?
Sure, you could use a tincture, which is convenient. You can find it at the health food store, or also echinacea tea. There are also echinacea syrups.
Mm-hmm.
So various forms are available and good. There are even echinacea tablets. I'm a little bit less in favor of tablets simply because they're harder to digest. And it's not as available, absorbable by the body. So tincture is much better. And the sign of a high quality echinacea preparation in whatever form is that it's supposed to make your tongue tingle. That's a very surprising sensation,
of course, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but it's an immune stimulant, so it makes your tongue tingle as a sign of being that stimulant.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's interesting about some of these herbs that actually when you put on your tongue, it has this very special effect. One of the herbs in Ayurveda is pipali, the long pepper. In fact, it's interesting that in London, you can get good quality long pepper even in supermarkets.
Yeah. Also in the United States, for instance, in Manhattan, in New York, in the really good Indian grocery stores, you'll find it.
Yeah, and this long pepper, you know, you shouldn't take it too much, you know, just a pinch or a couple of pinches, you know, like you use a little bit of salt. When you put it on your tongue, it has got that tingling sensation.
Exactly.
And also, pipali is a very good immune boosting spice. You know, it doesn't have the same taste as pepper, but actually, it acts very well with pepper and ginger. You, in fact, can take a combination of black pepper, long pepper, which is pipali, and dried ginger, just about half a teaspoon with water. It's really quite stimulating.
What would it be called?
It's called Trikatu. Three as in T-R-I, like try. Katu, K-A-T-U, Trikatu.
Yeah, and I find Trikatu really yummy. I like to actually put it onto my food for lunch.
Mm.
So would that, in your eyes, be an effective way of taking it?
You can. You know, the only thing I would say as a practitioner is don't do Trikatu too much, because it can have that irritating effect on the stomach. And
right.
Each person reacts to it differently. It's a little bit like cane. Like some people can handle it better than others. Mm. So you need to know your limits.
Right. So echinacea, to come back to that, is an immune stimulant that will quickly increase your white blood cells. So that's wonderful to take when you are quickly having to increase your immunity against cold viruses, or if you're feeling like you're catching them and you quickly want to do something against it. However, a wonderful other herb from the Chinese tradition is astragalus, that was used in the traditional Chinese, what they call change of season soup. So when you were boiling your chicken soup or whatever it is, in the autumn you would add slices of dried astragalus root to give yourself, or to prepare a soup that increases the immunity of the entire system to be fit for winter. And that is a little bit impractical in modern life for most people, but you can have, again, astragalus tincture. Mm-hmm. There are even a lot of echinacea astragalus combinations. Or you could have astragalus powder and sprinkle that into soups and sauces you're cooking. What I want to point out is that astragalus is what's called a deep immune tonic. Mm-hmm. From the herbal perspective, that means it raises and builds your immunity slowly, long term. So this is something that I would actually recommend starting to do in October, November, so you can be already prepared.
October, November in Northern Hemisphere.
In the Northern Hemisphere, yes, of course.
You know, for me, having lived in New Zealand, Australia, yes, and in England, the seasons is like, oh my God, I have to tell myself, okay, you are in the opposite season.
Right, exactly. And then I want to just briefly mention an all-time herbal favorite, which is sage or sage tea. Mm-hmm. That is just so fantastic for sore throat. Especially, again, I really want to emphasize in this radio show things that help you not really get sick in the first place. So mm-hmm. what do we do to avoid becoming very sick? So again, when you start to feel the first scratchiness and pain in the back of your throat, have a sage tea. You can also use the sage tea to gargle. Have the sage tea, again, wonderful to sweeten it with a little bit of local raw honey. And then, you know, you don't want to guzzle it down, but actually to drink it slowly so that it really touches the back of your throat where your tonsils are as much as possible.
Yeah, I think very similar to holy basil in Asian traditions, sage and holy basil.
Yeah.
You must remember, you know, these aromatic herbs, they have these essential oils in them. And in fact, essential oils are highly antimicrobial or antiviral.
Yeah, yeah. And they're wonderful also respiratory. So traditional to have cough teas. So try them out. You know, they'll convince you. They'll make you feel so much better pretty much immediately.
Because respiratory infections are very inappropriately treated. And I think that's largely because people panic about respiratory infections, and it's just very poorly treated. And the more you take, I don't know, the conventional ways to deal with upper respiratory infections, if it happens repeatedly, you are lowering your immunity. So it's important to have these natural things.
Right. And I think it's just because people have become disconnected from grandma's home care. Grandma would always have these things in her kitchen cabinet. Also such as thyme, tea of thyme.
Yes, yeah.
So good for the lung aspect, you know, bronchitis and really deep-seated infections in the lungs.
I must add here, Yulia, that, you know, generally avoiding dairy is a good thing when there are respiratory conditions. However, you know, there is an Indian tradition where you can make dairy, particularly milk, quite beneficial in respiratory condition, which is like never drink milk cold, and you know, if you add equal amounts of water to milk and then you heat it, and then you almost cook it with say half a teaspoon of turmeric, half a teaspoon of ginger, a little bit of cinnamon, maybe a pinch of black pepper, and then you cook it for about 5 to 10 minutes, and then you can add a natural sweetener, and then you drink it, it actually increases your respiratory immunity.
Right. That's actually very similar to the European tradition. So like with sage tea, you feel the scratching in your throat come on, you drink the sage tea and it just goes away, the scratching in your throat. We had hot milk with honey. So I have learned that as a child, and many times, you know, I used to bike for many kilometers out in the most nasty of cold, wet winds when I was a teenager trying to get home for dinner, and I'd get there and I'd feel a sore throat, and I'd make myself a cup of hot milk with a spoonful of honey, and again drink it in this way where you feel like you're allowing it to coat the back of your throat, and lo and behold, your sore throat will go away. So it's the same traditional wisdom.
Wow, so there are many, many ways how we can actually stay
healthy. Yeah, we've just barely scratched the surface.
Winter. We're almost coming to the end of this episode, Yulia. Are there any final tips that you can give?
Yeah, I just want to come back to warmth. Mm-hmm. So if you get soaked cold feet, if your feet are freezing, please take a hot foot bath. Don't forget taking a hot bath. Remember the amazing immune-enhancing properties of going and having a sauna. You know, steam sauna, whichever, dry, wet, doesn't matter. Remember the warmth of your bed. You know, it's warmth is a natural antidote to colds, cold season, and catching colds and flus.
Yeah, that's amazing. So if we pay attention to our food, our lifestyle, and stay warm, then we can actually reduce the need to be treated using pharmaceutical medications during our illnesses in autumn and winter. Thank you so much, Yulia, you know, for sharing your tips on how to stay healthy during autumn and winter.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.